Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
And I also think that people... Like when I say to you, do you understand everything that the Catholic Church teaches? And you say yes. And then I ask Jordan Peterson, do you understand everything that the Catholic Church teaches? And he says yes. That's like two different answers to two different questions. Because it's dependent upon the person.
Depends on what you mean by understand.
Depends on what you mean by God. I love how he, turns the word God into a three syllable.
God.
What were we talking about? And that's true. You can go down the line, right? You can ask a Methodist the question or a Lutheran the question, and they'll be like, yeah, I understand what the church teaches. And not like their own belief. Like they might be able to really read the catechism and understand all the claims and say, yes, I understand it, but I don't believe it. And they could still not be culpable because of everybody's unique perspective. Welcome to The Crunch, the only Catholic podcast live at the Washington National Mall in preparation for the inauguration of Donald J. Trump and the first Catholic Vice President, J.D. Vance. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. And I was at a Bible study last week.
No.
And we were just having a conversation and someone was like, we were reading the story of Susanna, where the two elders...
Susanna! From that song.
I think that's Rosanna.
Anyway,
so in the story, the two elders are like, they're together and they're like, we're gonna catch this chick together. Like we're gonna do dastardly things together.
Yeah.
And one of the discussion questions was like, have you ever been in a group that brought out the worst in you, that made you do things you otherwise wouldn't have done? And so I said, yeah, a couple years ago I was in DC.
they didn't get it
that quickly. That's, you got it immediately.
Yeah, I got it before you even, when you're asking the question, but I knew what you were gonna say.
But they were like, so oh yeah, funny. I was like, yeah, I was at DC, and you know, I was wearing my best yak horns, and I just saw
a dais, and I had to go up on it, and I had to take a podium. You know, what do you want from me?
And I was like really hoping for that pardon, you know?
Yeah.
Coming in 4 days. 4 days and I'll get out of solitary confinement.
Dude, 4 days. Anyway. TikTok's going away. TikTok's going away. I'm getting pardoned. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about the TikTok ban?
I don't go on TikTok, and so it will basically not change my life at all.
What will it
do to the creator
economy?
In fact, it might positively benefit my life because all of the people will flock to
Instagram. Yeah, it'll make us more popular on Instagram.
It'll make us more popular on Instagram. Yes. But anyway, they've been talking about banning TikTok for like 4 years now. So
right.
My doubt is I just have doubts that it's going to happen. Although I did doubt that Elon was actually going to buy Twitter. So, you know.
Mr. Beast said he wanted to buy TikTok. And I'm like,
I also doubted that Trump will get reelected. Do you remember that? True. I was like, he's not going to get reelected. But I was wrong. It was... In my defense, I didn't know they were going to run the most unpopular presidential candidate ever against him. If I had known that, I would have been like, maybe not.
If I had known that Trump was going to go on podcasts.
If I had known they were going to run Kamala Harris against Donald Trump, I would have been like, yeah, no, he's got this in the bag.
Who else would they run?
I thought they were going to run Joe. I also didn't know that Joe was going to lose his mind.
They did run Joe. Joe was chosen by the people.
Lest
you forget, you know.
Joe was chosen by the people, and Joe could have run again, but they ousted him, and then he voted for Trump.
I'm excited. So when we're at the inauguration, who do you want to see in the crowd?
I'm not going to the inauguration, but
when you and me are at the inauguration, who do you want to see in the crowd?
Who do I want to see in the crowd?
Yeah,
I want to see.
Who are you looking out for? I'm looking for Mel. The new representative to Hollywood. Did you see this? that Trump appointed Mel Gibson as the ambassador to Hollywood. Which is so funny to have an ambassador inside your own country.
To a place within your own country. Man, that's so funny. I'm so excited for the second funniest 4 years we've ever had.
Yes. It'll be funnier.
The first four years were funny because everyone was like, I still can't believe this is happening.
Yes.
But now, like, people are still trying to do that. And it's like, guys, we've already done this. Like, why are you surprised that it happened again?
Yeah.
You know?
I think the first 4 years were funny in, like, the Office sort of way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, look at all these wacky shenanigans from this guy who's the leader. He says some inappropriate stuff, but he's, you know, he's got a good heart or whatever. I think this now is going to be, like, Succession funny, you know? Where, like, there's deep trauma, but it's hilarious. And things are getting done, but nobody's really happy about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone compared Mar-a-Lago to Versailles, and I was like, "You're right. That's actually a very apt." He built Louis XIV.
Versailles,
built that place. So yeah. So Louis.
I don't follow him on Twitch. What does he play?
I don't. Are you thinking of Charlemagne? I don't know. That's a wrap.
I just think Versailles sounds like the name of a streamer that plays
Versailles. That's actually a good. So the Palace of Versailles was built by the Sun King Louis XIV in order to draw the center of power away from Paris, because Paris was like fomenting revolution during his monarchy.
It made a lot
and so
of
he
beer.
Was trying to lessen the power of Paris by moving kind of the seat of power to Versailles. And so
you tell me he was the Sun King? Why you put it on the sun if he liked it so much?
Come on, man. But yeah, Louis XIV's face is on the sun right now as we speak. And so the comparison is that Donald Trump is using Mar-a-Lago. He's like receiving all these diplomats and ambassadors to his personal mansion instead of receiving them in D.C. And so he's drawing the center of power away from D.C. to Florida, baby.
Yeah, which is not that surprising, because isn't that how it works like everywhere else? You know, guy is in charge, lives in mansion. People come to where he lives to say hi to him, you know, like I feel like it's weird to have. I guess it makes sense if you're a monarchy like Buckingham Palace and you're the queen and like your family lives there. Right. And it's the palace.
That's where you live. Yeah.
Britain is weird because it looks like Downing Street is just it just looks like a
house.
It looks like an apartment, you know?
Yeah.
So that place is strange. But then the White House is like this palatial thing, but it's not connected. It's not by blood. And the only person that lives there is presumably the family of the president.
Yeah.
But it's a really big, but it's also like a business house, you know, like does the prime minister doesn't live at 5 Downing Street, does he?
10. I don't think so.
At 5 and then he works at 10.
Dude, the vice president lives just somewhere. And imagine being as...
Does the vice president's family not live in the White House?
No, they don't live in the White House.
Where do they live? I guess I never
thought
about this.
You think Obama and Joe just were like in the same house?
Roommates? Jumping up and down on the Lincoln bed?
Yeah, man.
Where do they live? No, where does
the
vice
president...
This is, I've never thought about this.
The vice president's mansion. No. And he has to commute into D.C. every day.
No way. The vice president's residence.
They make the vice president commute, dude. It sucks.
The vice president since Walter Mondale have lived with their families on the grounds of the United States Naval Observatory. Dude, that sucks. Imagine you have to live at the Navy to be vice president.
Ah, gross. And JD was a Marine, so I'm sure that sucks.
That's true. How is it a long commute? Number one observatory circle.
What are they observing over there?
It's actually... Low key, it's nicer than the White House. Can I just say this?
That is true.
The White House is fine, but it's not like a...
It's a museum.
Like a house. Yeah. It's a museum. There's tourists. It's a working time. You only get the one wing to live in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The West Wing, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it is
the
East Wing. The
reason why you live there is because we don't want to have to move you too often. We want you to stay here.
Is it so? Do they have to take a tunnel from the Naval Observatory to the?
Maybe it's a helicopter. Do they take?
Oh, you're right. It's probably a helicopter.
I'd imagine it's a helicopter because you don't want yeah. like they you can't take this, you can't have the vice president go in the same direction, the same roads mm-hmm. to work every day. That's a
right.
That's security.
This feels like just, you know, I know where he lives, I know where he works.
Yeah,
I'll just wait here. You know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm excited. I think the inauguration is going to be good. I think it's going to be very safe. I don't think there's going to be any devices of any kind deployed, which is really good. I think they've got that on lockdown. I think Trump's speech is going to be a banger. I think it's going to go on for way too long, but I think he's going to have some moments in it.
It's exciting.
I'm excited for that.
It's going to be a fun little shindig. I'm looking forward to the clips. I'm not going to watch it, I don't think.
Yeah. They're getting rid of TikTok. They're getting rid of like immigrants. Stuff. It's going to be a very full
week. Dude, everyone's going to the communist TikTok, which I thought was just TikTok, but apparently they do have
even more Chinese TikTok.
There's an even more Chinese TikTok. Yeah. And Americans are posting, American 20-year-old women are posting, did you guys know that there's no homeless people in China? I'm like, you guys are.
Did you know that the leader in China is glorious? Nobody told me this, that they have a glorious leader. This is crazy.
Oh, you guys are. I was like, the ability to download this app in America is an act of aggression, by the way.
I saw all these reels about Tiananmen Square. It looks like a really nice, beautiful place where nothing ever happened.
TS 1989.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift released an album called 1989, and there's a t-shirt that says TS 1989, and someone posted, imagine going to China and wearing this t-shirt.
I was going to do the accent and say Taylor Swift in a Chinese accent, but I decided against it.
I'm glad you didn't. That's good. Know, but yeah, so thyself. people are posting like, did you know that everybody in China owns their own house and there's no homeless people? I'm like, guys, that's just propaganda. You're just falling mm-hmm. for propaganda. I thought you guys were like the media literacy people. Like, you know,
no. Everybody who posts the videos of that one city in China that's all lit up and fancy, it's like, oh, China is so futuristic. They just have lights, bro. Like, you're getting fooled by lights.
In a city.
In a city. It's not even... Go to the farming provinces of China for once.
Did you know, like, they're migrant... We have a migrant worker community in America. Like, we have a migrant worker population in America that is transient and poor, and it sucks. The migrant worker population in China is equal to the population of America. Imagine if everybody in America was a migrant worker. That is China. China has 300 million migrant workers.
That's crazy.
Well, they none of them own homes.
That's true.
Imagine if everybody in America was homeless. And then your country also had 700 million more people.
Yes. And they all... Yeah, I can't imagine someone getting on the Chinese app and then just believing.
Hot take, America is better than China.
I will agree with that. I'm not worried. Everyone is always worried about Chinese nuclear submarines, Chinese aircraft, you know, so if we got into a, Tim Dillon's always talking about if we got into a war with China, it would be the end. It would be the end of all life, you know, on Earth.
Nah.
And I just think that that's not true, you know?
Yes.
For what, maybe it's just my American exceptionalism, but we would crush China in a conflict.
All of China's allies are in the same place. That's the main issue, is that the world is constructed such that it would be India and China and Russia all together. And then everybody else.
It's like they decided, they picked the two countries that everyone else likes the least.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
As their like, main allies.
No
it's
one...
like all the bullies teamed up.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not good.
Dude, it's that scene in Sky High where they turn on Stretch and the fast guy, you know, and like all the heroes band together to take him out. That's India and China and Russia is Stretch and the fast guy.
Yeah, man.
And Will Stronghold is America. And the girl...
Also, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how well put together the Chinese army is. I couldn't tell you. But I know for a fact that the North Korean and Indian military are not exactly top-notch.
No. I mean, if you have to have demonstrations where you punch through rocks in front of your dictator to, like, prove your efficacy as a military... It's like nobody in the United States dragon. is doing judo in front of the president. So being like, look at how well trained we are. You know, it's like Trump's understanding of the military is there's a guy who goes bing, 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 bomb, missile launch. That's all he needs to know is that we can launch missiles by hitting a few buttons. And that's enough for him. They clearly can't do that in North Korea because they have to do the whole
wood in half. Yeah, I'm really scared. So I will never engage in hand-to-hand combat with a North Korean. Luckily, that's probably not how this is going to go down. I would imagine there's not going to be a lot of hand-to-hand combat in World War III.
You never know. But World War IV.
Six and stones, baby.
Six and stones. I don't know what weapons World War III will be fought with, but I know World War IV, I'm punching a North Korean guy.
Right square in the right nose, in the baby. I picture the meme. Oh, Ethan froze. Oh, there you go. I picture the meme of the two really fierce dragons and the little goofy one, and that's Russia and China and India in World War III.
Yes.
Apparently, Brazil is an ally of India. So the BRICS countries, the BRICS, B-R-I-C-K.
Why is Brazil an ally of India? What do they have to...
I'm not quite sure, but the UN...
Just like, hey, you got favelas? We got favelas.
There's like a UN coalition, and it's BRICS, B-R-I-C-K, and it's Brazil, Russia, India, and Korea, and China.
Is it really? I didn't know. I thought it was B-R-I-C-S.
I thought there was a K, and it was for Korea. Or maybe people say it's a K for North Korea, but North Korea I don't think is in the UN.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on that. I'm pretty confident they're not.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to World War III now that I've aged out of the draft.
As long as we can still podcast, that's all I really care about. For real. You know? Like, I don't want to go... Like, if we go to war, I've been thinking about the LA fires, you know, and everyone's, like, evacuating all that stuff, and it's like, but they're still uploading videos about it, you know? Like, if you're really... People's homes burned down, it was very bad. But I'm seeing a lot of influencers uploading videos about their experience of evacuating the fires, which tells me that it wasn't that bad for you, you know?
I don't know. It is Hollywood, so it's like there's the natural inclination to make, you know, content.
Yeah. So I think the severity of the war will be determined based on how frequently you and I are allowed, what podcast rations are distributed. You know, if you get 1 hour a week, you guys get 1 hour a month.
Do you think that the LA fires are going... Did we talk about the LA fires last week?
We talked about them last week. We can recap them a little bit because it's still going on.
Do you think that the LA fires are going to flip California in any meaningful way?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think... Because I think most of the people who are there are so... Like, I listened to The Yard and they were talking about the podcast. And off rip, they're instantly making fun of people saying... DEI mismanagement, all the things that like we saw, we were like, yeah, that makes sense why it didn't go well. They were like making fun of those people and just saying like, well, fires suck and they tried really hard to like protect us, and like they actually tried really effing hard to like protect us, and like they were super like, we really appreciate what the fires did because it was so effing scary what they did, and like they protected us. Like, that's the California mindset. It's like, no matter how bad something is, I can't criticize it because there's someone that's effing trying their effing hardest, you know? And it's like, I think that's the ethos.
I wish there was some effing water in the reservoir.
Effing water in the effing fire hydrants.
You can try as hard as you want, but if there's no water, someone was like, wait, we've been paying $100 fines for parking in front of empty fire hydrants.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, you have been, I guess.
So in my, like, as I've gained these sort of glimpses into the average LA mindset, maybe not the average LA, rich LA people, it's, I think they were scared. But I don't think it's. I don't think they see it as a failure of government, you know. They see it as a freak thing.
I see this as a total Florida victory. I was talking about this today.
Yeah.
Total Florida victory. Florida has lower property taxes, lower state income taxes, no tax on food, and we have regular uncontrollable natural disasters. Like, you can't do anything to stop a hurricane. California has higher income tax. From what I understand, they do tax you on food. Super high property tax. And they have controllable natural disasters. Somewhat controllable natural disasters.
Famously controllable.
What I mean is preventable. There's a whole bear that talks about how you can prevent forest fires. You know, yes. there's no little like surfer guy going, only you can prevent Category 5 hurricanes.
That would be funny. We should do that. That would be really funny.
I mean, like how much did you hear about Tampa after it got hit by two Category 3s within a week on the news?
I work with someone that lives in Tampa, so he just kind of went to his dad's house and
They're up and running. They're fine. You
know, they're doing great. The levees held. Well, that's because they didn't need to detonate them to kill black people like they had to do in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a big problem last time. But the I was driving to my friend's house the day before Hurricane Milton. We had FPL trucks sitting in the Walmart parking lot. It was ready to go. Power went off. It was back on same day. It's like that. And that's tax dollars at work, baby. That's Meatball Ron doing his job. You know,
Oklahoma has a similar situation, RE natural disasters. There's tornadoes, right? You can't avoid a tornado. It's coming. You can know about it. You can get out of the way, but it's so precise where it hits. Usually sometimes it's kind of like the fires where it's like there's a neighborhood and one house could be demolished and the house next to it could be perfectly fine. You know, it's so random. But when the power goes out in Oklahoma, like it did 2 years ago on the 4th of July, it was out all weekend.
Mm.
And it was really hot.
Yeah.
And so I think we have the similar thing where it's like, oh yeah, you never hear about the tornadoes in Oklahoma, but we don't have enough tax revenue to solve it in the way that Florida does. So it's kind of what I'm saying is Oklahoma is the worst of both California and Florida.
You guys should tax more.
We should. I'm worried that if we did tax more, it should go to our 49th best education in the country.
Yes.
Problem.
Yeah.
You know.
And maybe once those kids are smart enough, they can figure out how to turn the lights back on.
We need to invest in the future. I don't need the lights on now. I need those kids to have the lights on in their little noggins.
But it is just impressive the amount of money that California has. It should be fine. California should have any money to do whatever it wants. And it does. And the thing they want is
they want to pay $450,000 to a fire chief that says, if you're dying in a fire, that's your fault.
That's on you, man. I can't believe they published that.
It's insane to me. It's like, if you're a man and you need my help getting you out of a fire, you shouldn't be in that situation. Okay. Let me just play the leftist card for a second. It's a little ableist, right? What if there's a man?
Victim blaming.
Well, if there's a man who has a panic attack or he has PTSD and he can't get out of the fire because his body shuts down, or maybe he's disabled and he can't make it down the stairs, you know, like I'm just playing by your rules here, you know, and you're still failing. So baffling.
I can't absolutely believe that baffling. They let that go to print. I mean, obviously they couldn't control it getting out afterward. Right. I mean, they can't control a fire, let alone a video going, but I'm surprised they let that be published, because it's like,
how these LA fires are going viral. That's not that you. Please don't.
That's
use that
not
term
what I
meant. For
that's
real fires.
this video of this LA fire chief talking about how it's the fire homeowner's fault if he needs to get carried out of a building. I can't believe that they let that go to print, let that go to publication, and didn't think, hey, this might be ironic in the future if we ever run into a situation where we can't control a fire, or if someone dies.
Yeah.
They weren't taking that, you know. Like, I get it. It's like, you know, it's all the DEI fire. Like, I understand that seems like a silly right-wing talking point. Yeah. But what's not a silly right-wing talking point is you should have people that can carry people out of fires as your firefighters.
My next door neighbor's a firefighter. He's so strong.
Awesome.
And he's so handsome. And it's like, it's like you are the guy that I would choose, you know?
to carry me.
My other neighbor, he also just got hired as a firefighter. He's been interviewing for 2 years to get into the fire program, and he finally got hired on.
That's crazy.
He is also very strong.
Burly guy.
Very handsome. And it's like, I get it, you know? I should not be chosen. I am working my way up. I'm on my journey to benching 225. Not anywhere close. These guys can do it. They can do it. Roll out of bed. Bench 225.
Benching 225 is a lot different than lifting 240 pounds over your shoulders.
I'm just talking about my own fitness goals. You know? I feel like you're making fun of me. But
oh no, that's not what I meant. I'm agreeing with you. I'm like, this is you're it's a lot. You know, it's hard.
Yeah. Those are the people that should be getting these. You need to be a big, strong, attractive guy. That's
not
that
necessarily
mine.
Attractive, but yeah, I get your point.
I think when you're big and strong, inherently comes with the territory. Attractive. Yeah.
Mm. I don't know, man.
And I've this is a straight. I'm a straight guy. I'm a straight fella. I'm straight as the day is long. In the summer.
It's winter. That's the middle of winter. I'm as straight as the day is long.
saying that on the winter solstice. Guy who's definitely straight.
Definitely straight.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Catholic men, if you want to be a great man, you have to know yourself first. And I will admit, I used to think I knew myself pretty well until I did Exodus 90. I thought that giving up social media would be hard because I love tweeting. However, it was television that was hard for me, honestly, because I admit I watch The Office on my phone while I'm getting ready and doing things. And so when I had to give up television and I had to sit in silence, I was like, oh no, I have to be alone with my thoughts. That's terrifying. But it was good because I got to talk to God more, and also my wife, the two people who are the most important in my life. At that point, the only two people that were important in my life, Leo had not yet been born. So when I did Exodus 90 in 2022, I was able to reconnect with my wife, reconnect with my God, and prepare the way for my little bundle of joy who is potty training now. So pray for us. All of that is to say, if you've been considering doing Exodus 90 every single year for the last like 10 years, now is your time to do it. Okay? Stop pussyfooting around, which is something you can say on a non-explicit podcast because that is a word, pussyfoot. Stop pussyfooting around and go to exodus90.com/crunch, exodus90.com/crunch, and get a 14-day free trial of their mobile app that is essential to the experience of Exodus 90. Trust me on that. Don't wait, because Exodus 90 starts on January 20th. Hop in that cold shower and give up all non-essential things in your life except for this podcast, which, as you know, is the most essential thing in your life. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring another episode of The Crunch Bagel. I hope this ad was funny. All right, man, listen, I try my best. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Now back to your regularly scheduled crunching. You know you got a guy who starts calling you gay.
That happened to you recently?
I was explaining to someone the Catholic position on like faith and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And
he said, that's posted, gay. You're gay. That was
his answer. I posted the Catechism of the Catholic Church, like the right. quote 1996 on grace. And he was like, what is unearned gift mean? And I was like, I mean this respectfully. Is English your first language? Which is my new go-to.
Nice.
Dunk.
Nice.
Is English your first language? And he was like, is being gay your first language? And I was like,
sick comeback, bro. Very nice.
Like, easy, easy.
Very cool.
That's fine.
That's hilarious. Oh, man.
I'd rather be gay than illiterate. Patrick Nevy.
I don't know.
Listen, I'm not illiterate, but $20 is $20. We got to update that phrase. Have you heard a guy say recently, I'm not gay, but 20 bucks is 20 bucks?
It's taken on more advanced forms, you know.
Sure. I think we need to adjust that phrase for Biden's America.
Yeah. How would you do
that? You can't even get 5 cartons of eggs for $20 now.
That's true. I'm not gay, but 12 eggs is 12 eggs.
It's 12 eggs, man. It's 100 bucks now. It's actually cheaper to get a pound of bacon than it is to get a dozen eggs.
Why are the eggs so expensive, man? What are they doing to those chickens?
I don't know. I thought chickens.
Are they subsidizing the chickens as they come across the border from Mexico?
And why are the eggs more expensive? Do you think artificial intelligence can explain to us why the eggs are expensive?
Let's find out. OpenAI.com/ChatGPT/
Sorry, the live reading of the URL gets me every time. I don't know what it is.
This is because I've got your sense of humor dialed in. It's the only sense of humor that I have anymore.
The podcast is actually just for me.
Yeah. All right. What's your question that I need to ask OpenAI?
Why are the eggs expensive now?
Why are the eggs expensive? Eggs expensive.
Like, I understand.
Answer in one word. Answer in one word. Inflation was the one word it gave.
Oh.
Answer in a sentence.
Well, why is the inflation happening?
Answer in a sentence. Eggs are expensive due to a combination of inflation, increased production costs, and supply chain disruptions. How it costs more for a chicken to poop out an egg. The cost of producing eggs has risen because of higher feed prices, labor costs, transportation expenses, and factors like disease outbreak, e.g. avian flu, reducing the supply of healthy laying hens.
That's right. There was an avian flu problem.
And remember a couple years ago during COVID when the Chinese were bombing production facilities for food? Do you remember that?
No.
There were like planes flying into facilities that like mass produced eggs and grain factories and all these things. Like there was like a series of chemical outbreaks and plane crashes on agriculture facilities. This was like 2020, 2021.
In America?
Yes. The United USA. Ooh. Yeah.
Dang. The Chinese spy balloons.
Did the Chinese have anything to do with this?
China Joe.
Answer honestly. There's no evidence to suggest that China is directly responsible for the increased cost of eggs. Dang it. Yeah.
Answer as if you were a conspiracy theorist. Did you see our last episode got a fact check warning on it for climate change?
Yeah, because we talked about the fires and stuff.
Yeah.
Think about it. China's influence on global grain markets could be driving up feed prices for chickens, manipulating the supply chain to weaken domestic agriculture and inflate prices. It's all part of a grander strategy to control food systems and create dependency. Coincidence? I think not. That's not even a good conspiracy. The conspiracy is not China's influence on global grain markets. That's just economy. That's just like that's just macroeconomics is what you're talking
about. That's not a conspiracy. A conspiracy is they hired Joe Biden to become the president and let us fly planes into grain supplies. That's a conspiracy.
They're doing poultry 9/11 and nobody's talking about it. Is the problem?
A second plane has hit the chicken coop.
Dude, that'd be so. I used to live at a place called the Coop. That would be so sad if two planes hit my old house and I died in a fiery explosion.
That'd be awful.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to talk about a topic?
Yeah. Now that we're warmed up, 30 minutes in.
Dude, if we did this full time,
yeah.
We would be the 3-hour podcast guys.
Yeah, I think we would. It's hard to do a 3-hour podcast like over Zoom though. you know, like,
no, I don't think that's true.
You know, I, after a while I get a little, my back starts to hurt, you know, sitting here in front of the camera. I would need a much more comfortable, I would need a setup that looked like I was in therapy where I could kind of lay down on my back and talk to you.
We can do like an in-person podcast every like quarter or so.
That would be nice. Together and we
do an in-person shindig.
You know? Yeah, I would enjoy that.
When we gotta figure out a setup to have me interview you here, or like me, you know, we have to have like a studio space that's a little bigger.
Right.
Patreon.com/thecrunch.
We got to get you a studio. Once you get a studio space, then we can figure out what we want the look and feel to be for both of our backgrounds, and then we can design it together. Yes. You know, because right now I just kind of have shelves that I put up, so it's not just a white wall. And you have your brother's bed.
One of these days, I'm gonna convince my brother to get rid of this bed and put a couch.
Why do you need to convince? It's your parents' house. You need to convince your parents.
Well, he's still in college, so he still, like, according to my parents, technically lives here. He doesn't care, though. He's fine. Yeah. We're going to get rid of the bed. We're going to get him a pull-out couch. It's funny. This is the shortest bed in this house, and Nick is the tallest guy.
He's so large. This is
a full. I barely fit on a queen, and this is a full.
Does Nick remember me?
Of course he does. I think he still listens to the podcast sometimes.
No.
Yeah, he texted me about it the other day.
It made me feel so good, man. He likes us.
Nick's the coolest. Nick's the coolest like guy. Nick. Yo, when Father Anthony texted us, posted that reference to our podcast, it was the best day of my life.
There's no way he still listens to this program. That was insane.
But he posted the Sunday morning.
And
it
he
came
posts
out.
The soup.
He
meme.
Posted a picture of himself as Thanos.
Yeah.
Making soup.
Yeah. That could be a coincidence.
I doubt it.
You should check with him. You should text him right now.
I did. I responded, "You listen." And he was like, "Yes." So
we have influence over some of the biggest creators on that platform. All right. What topic? We got 15 minutes. What topic do you want to get into? Now that we've done 30 minutes of banter, 15 minute topic.
I've been hope posting on the timeline.
What does that mean?
Hope posting is where you post about the good things that are happening, and it's been going quite well, actually.
Yes.
I posted, like, you know, before and after pictures, like, here's what churches look like in 1963. Here's what churches look like in 2023, and it's, like, big, and it's full
and
of
it's
people.
And it's full, and there's everybody's
happy.
Going.
Yeah. And I showed my wife, she's like, this makes me really happy. And I was like, yes, that's what I want to go for. I want to make people happy. I want to make people hopeful. And the angry trads can see in the comments about how Vatican II is actually horrible. And it's like, well, these two pictures make it look like Vatican II is great, because this picture is before Vatican II in an ugly church, and this picture is after Vatican II in a beautiful church. So looks like Vatican II is actually awesome. Sucks. So that's what I've been hope posting about. And so one of the things that I posted about recently was ugly church, beautiful church. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, churches are getting prettier. Isn't that great? And I was talking to you about that before the podcast, and you said that people today don't understand beauty. And I want you to say more about that.
I had a conversation with some friends over last night, and they converted to Catholicism 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And so they're kind of in this, they were asking me a lot of questions, which was really funny. Like, why don't Protestants get this? And why does this happen? Like, they kind of are still in the fresh convert phase where they don't really get that not everybody feels the same way that they do.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. This is a side tangent, but I saw someone post, if a Protestant understands all the claims of Catholicism and rejects them, can that person still be saved? And if you say yes, you need to explain why. And I said yes, and I don't need to explain why, because God's mercy is infinite. He can save anybody he wants to. And I also think that people, like, when I say to you, do you understand everything that the Catholic Church teaches? And you say yes. And then I asked Jordan Peterson, do you understand everything that the Catholic Church teaches? And he says, yes. That's like two different answers to two different questions, because it's dependent upon the person.
Depends on what you mean by understand.
Depends on what you mean by God. I love how he turns the word God into a three syllable.
God.
God. what were we talking about? And that's true. You can go down the line, right? You can ask a Methodist the question or a Lutheran the question, and they'll be like, yeah, I understand what the church teaches. And they, and not like their own belief. Like, they might be able to really read the catechism and understand all the claims and say, yes, I understand it, but I don't believe it. And they could still not be culpable because of everybody's unique perspective or perception.
Yeah, this is the gist of my only debate that I've ever done.
Yeah.
With that, with Gabe.
I remember that. Christian. Did you win that?
It was like a little bit. And the one reason why I did win was because I didn't the whole time go, I'm totally winning this debate. The entire time he was like, looks like I'm winning. And I was like,
dude. He kept saying that out loud?
Yeah.
That's like, crazy.
I was like, dude, this makes you look like an ass. Like, you gotta.
This date's going really well, I feel like.
I was like in the bathroom trying to go out the window. But so it was. This is the gist of my, like, his point, he brought up invincible ignorance. He's like, my opponent's probably going to mention invincible ignorance, but invincible ignorance only counts if you haven't been preached the gospel. And my debate was about whether Ben Shapiro could be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, Ben Shapiro is not invincibly ignorant because he's had the gospel preached to him multiple times by his Catholic coworkers. And I'm like, again, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've probably preached the gospel to him, and so that they're not culpable for his ignorance. But simply because the gospel is not communicated by men.
Yeah.
It's not communicated by flesh and blood. And so it's like, it's not just because otherwise you could just go up to someone and be like, hey, Jesus Christ died for you. And it's like, sorry, now you're going to hell because you didn't believe me.
Right. This is what, this is ridiculous. Where, this is why it's so, like, this is why we kind of feel really awkward and cringe when we see the people stand up on the planes or go on subways. And they stand up and they say, you know, Jesus Christ died for you. You know, raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus Christ into your life right now. And everyone's like, oh my goodness, you're spreading the gospel. It's like, well, odds are the people that are raising their hand already probably have some amount of faith. I'm not trying to be a skeptic just for the sake of it. But I don't know how many people are genuinely having their first ever encounter with God and the Holy Spirit on the plane when the guy is saying, you know, when they're landing at O'Hare and he's standing up and yelling, he's preaching on the airplane. This ties in with the conversation about beauty quite nicely, because it's the question that my friends were asking me was, when I go into a Catholic church, especially a beautiful Catholic church, I see the beauty. And when my Protestant family and my Protestant friends go into a Catholic church, they don't see the beauty. Why do you think that is? Hmm. And I think they were genuinely like struggling with this. Like, why don't they get it? And, you know, he's like tried to talk about the papacy to his father-in-law, and he's tried to talk about this to his brother. You know, it's like not working. He's like, I don't understand.
Sounds like he needs the convince your friends
or the boot camp
or the battle plan or anything.
Or the battle plan. Anything that we make that helps you talk about
convinceyourfriends.com.
Convinceyourfriends.com
to get the world's best apologetics resources. The Crunch Catholic Podcast, the faith formation leader. I said that on Twitter once, and essentially it was like,
that's really funny. We should start tweeting everyone else's, like, I don't know what Word on Fire's tagline is, but we should just say the Crunch Catholic Podcast and then whatever their thing is.
Yeah, it'd be really funny. Funny. Start a beef with everybody.
Yes, yes, but like joking, like in a cool way where they invite us to collaborate with them and then they pay us tens of thousands of dollars.
I do think that us starting beefs as a joke with large company would help them out. It would
100%.
I think they'd be more open to it than they were 5 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Especially now Ascension that you're
posting the husband meme was so, it was amazing. It was the Asian wife meme. Oh, husband, you did not download Rosary in the year. I was like,
yeah,
I lost it.
That's great.
Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
I got my little blue.
Little
snorkel?
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming? I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you, even if they think you're the worst person on the planet. They have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach, and so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Cringe. What was I talking about? Oh, the reason that Protestants don't see beauty in the same way is because most people, Catholics, for whatever reason, and this might just be because we've received all the sacraments, and so we have grace that enlightens our minds, where we can more readily accept the good. And I think if your soul is deadened, your soul is deadened to good things. This is true. Like, if you've ever thought about a period of your life where you're in mortal sin and just someone giving someone money, like a poor guy money or food, it kind of like pisses you off, you know? Or like you see like a beautiful family and you like get angry about it, or you see like someone is kind to you and instead of accepting it, you're just like, F you, dude. Because there's like a hardening that happens when you don't have a life of grace. I'm not saying that Protestants don't have a life of grace, but I'm saying that one way that you could be prevented from experiencing beauty is, you know, not being connected to the sacraments, not being connected to the church, and just like the cultural philosophical problems of not believing that there's such a thing as objective beauty, not knowing that there's not knowing that beauty is even good or something to be valued, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of Protestant traditions are iconoclastic. They don't think that there should be images, and images are, you have to, if there's beauty, there has to be images, right?
Right.
Like it's hard to do just little sconces all over the place, you know? That's very rare.
Yeah.
These churches are very unornamented by design. And so you've been malformed. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Like, you've been malformed to think that these things are evil and wrong.
Right. Like statues and stained glass. Yeah. And crucifixes and beautiful high altars and all that stuff.
Like, to the Protestant eye, a miraculous medal and a medal of Hanuman, the Indian god, monkey god, looks exactly the same.
What about the Medal of Honor video game series for the PlayStation 2? How do they feel?
I think they would
that?
Consider that to be better.
I played Medal of Honor Frontline every day in the summer of 2009 because I was not allowed to play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
But you played Medal of Honor?
I played Medal of Honor because it was rated T for teen.
Mm.
And it was about when America did good wars and not when America does bad wars, you know?
Was Call of Duty about Vietnam?
Well, Call of Duty Modern Warfare was about modern warfare. And then they did have one about Black Ops. Like, the Black Ops was about Vietnam. And then after that, I lost track. I don't know what the rest of them were about.
But anyway, to the untrained, like to the Protestant eye, like an image of Vishnu with the cut off heads, mm-hmm. and an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe is the same, which right. is like insane to me.
Yeah,
because I see one and I'm repulsed, and I see the other and I'm like, that's Mary. She's great. Yeah,
Jesus. The difference being like that one is of a demon, the other one is of God's mom. You know.
Yeah.
Like
the main. That's the main thing. But the yeah. fact that they can't distinguish that, and they will, right. some will even call Mary, like yeah. Our Lady of Guadalupe, a demon, mm-hmm. is a product of malformation, and they have a response. Like we have a responsibility to form our conscience as well,
right?
And so, you know, to the extent to which they persist in that,
yeah.
they are somewhat culpable. If you think that Our Lady of Guadalupe is a demon, yikes. You got to get that checked out.
Right.
But you know, it's that's what it is. It's like they've been mm-hmm. grown. How culpable are they? Because it's very difficult to resist. The cup retains the taste of the first thing that's poured into it. Right? Have you ever had a wooden cup before?
No.
When we did never had a wooden cup?
No. So like, I didn't grow up in 1705.
It's a proverb. I don't think it's a proverb in the Bible, but it's a proverb that like the cup retains the taste of the first thing you pour into it.
So, we here at Jamestown Settlement have been having many troubles.
You've never drank out of a wooden cup in your entire life.
No.
You're like, I only drink out of sheer materials, baby. You've never drank out of a porous vessel before?
Don't talk about me like that, dude. That's so rude.
You gotta start drinking out of some porous vessels,
brother. Bro only uses sheer vessels. What a loser.
What a loser. Dude only uses vessels made out of precious metals. So if you take a wooden cup,
yeah.
and you pour wine into it,
right.
it will always be stained and somewhat taste like wine.
This happens to my Yeti because I put coffee in it, and then the aluminum kind of tastes like coffee now.
Forever. So it's like the vessel retains the taste of the first thing you pour into it. And indeed. So like it's a lot like a Yeti, where if you're just constantly pouring coffee, even if yeah. you put water into it, it's going to taste like coffee.
The water tastes like weird aluminum coffee. And then I feel yeah. like I'm adding heavy metals into my blood. And then my wife sprays this mist into my mouth to detox my metals. And I don't know what it is or what it does, but every night she comes up to me and says, open up. And I go, eh. And then she sprays it into my mouth. Dude, does anyone else's wife do that?
Mine does not. My wife, immediately upon marrying me, made me get a skin routine. That was something that, nice. Like a skincare routine.
Nice.
I have not been consistent with it, as you can tell, by yeah. my dry skin. But
if I can pull this down to earth a little bit, it's like, I think about it, it's other aesthetic interests are like smaller versions of this. So what you think about art, what you think about music, what you think about movies, all of this kind of is a smaller localized version of this broader issue. So movies is a big thing that I'm really into. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with my wife. This, she's just an example here. But like I could show my wife the 3-hour Russian film Stalker, which I think is a phenomenal movie. Mm-hmm. And she would be like, this sucks.
This is boring. Yeah.
This is, you're showing me an ass film. This is a film made with ass about ass. It's terrible. And it's in Russian and I don't understand what's going on. And that's because she just doesn't have like the language of Russian cinema. Not that sure. I do, but like it's more open. Taste. I'm more open to like learning about it and like trying to experience it, you know. And I've seen more movies, and so like I know better the framework of what a movie is, and like when a movie does a different thing than what most normal movies do, then I understand that there must be a reason behind it, you know. And so like, yes. and then you understand that there's all these different like sub rules within genre conventions of how you can change and manipulate things. David Lynch died today, by the way, which is crazy. Mm. Rest yeah. in peace, David Lynch. So that's like one example where it's like but not like as important as this broader thing that we're talking about, where it's like you can lack an appreciation for certain types of, like, I'm that way with like art. I go into a museum and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Show me the ones of saints, show me the ones of God. I don't really care about anything else, you know? But I think the Protestant mind, or even just like the broader modern secular mind,
I think it's more of a modern mind.
I don't think it has really has much to do with Protestantism. I think Protestantism has taken on modernism, and so they reject any type of ultimate truth and ultimate objective beauty in doing so. So I think they just don't have the language for it. Like, they don't have the vocabulary to even understand why something can be beautiful and what that means, which is why a lot of people's houses look like Kmart, Hobby Lobby, Target showrooms, you know, is because there's no language. Like, you don't have the language of what is beautiful inside your own house, which is why every suburb and every living room in America is just a place where the TV goes to watch the NFL game. Is because the whole country is kind of affected by this sickness, which then manifests in its churches and its stores and its schools and its government buildings. You can go down the list. So I think it's not just a church problem. It's like a deeper modern issue that like the Catholic Church fell prey to in the 90s when they wrecked all of their churches. And it's only like the few that resisted it because of their history, or the ones that have been built by really great architects recently that are combating it in any way.
Yeah, and it's taken decades and decades and decades of work.
50 years.
My parish is finally getting cool again. Like, we did a big renovation.
You did?
They finally got put up into the back instead of hanging in the middle of the air. They're finally again. So it's funny, was my church had these big blank walls.
Mm-hmm.
That the only thing that's ever been back there are just felt banners, and they wanted screens in the church, and so they hung the screens as floating screens in the air. I'm like, guys, we have these ugly walls. If we're gonna have the ugly walls and you want screens that bad, can you just put the screens there?
Mm-hmm.
And then for mass they put up
I just thought about having a Gen Z mask where they put Subway Surfers on the screen during mass to make sure that they're paying attention.
They put the lyrics on the screen for mass, but it's like white background, black font, Times New Roman.
Sure.
It's like, guys, why, you know, can,
what's the point if we're just gonna do that?
Why don't we just have song sheets? Do we need the words on the wall for?
Yeah. It's cheaper, you know, I guess, in the long run. You don't have to do as much printing.
I feel like it's not.
You buy $2,000 TVs, that's $2,000. I mean, you probably spend that much in 3 months on printing.
I don't know, man. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, we want to have it just in case we need it. And now we have it, so we have to use it all the time, you know. At my wedding,
they should put the videos of the combine harvester that goes around the field and harvests all the wheat while, you know, someone is talking. They should do that during mass. I would really enjoy that.
During my wedding, like, at my parish, the music director, he was a fantastic guy. He typed up all the lyrics to all the songs we were going to use. And I was like, oh, we're not using the projector at all.
We just want a black screen.
Yeah. We just want.
I remember you being pressed about this.
Yeah.
You were stressed out talking to the guy.
I was like, please don't. I don't want. I just
turned it off.
Yeah. But I didn't back down.
Never back down, never what?
Never surrender. Never give up. That's what it is.
Never give up.
Anyway, so if you're... Oh, my church is going to get a beautiful blue wall. We're going to paint the blue wall, and it's going to be stars and a big altar, and the tabernacle is going to be in the middle. We finished phase one of our renovation, so basically nothing has changed except we had to put in a sprinkler system. Because we were like, we're going to do all these renovations. Yeah. And the county was like, no.
Nope. You are not up to code.
So we did the sprinklers and it was like $1 million.
Yeah. Dang.
Anyway. But they look great. You can't even see them.
Nice.
So Ascension Catholic Church is going to be the best church in Melbourne. Everyone come visit. It's great. 9:30 mass. I'll be there. Please don't.
I'm not going to say where I go to mass. I'm not going to say what time. I don't want any of you to... Mass is genuinely one of the most difficult parts of my week.
Oh, sure.
Because I'm not really there, You know, I'm in the back with a child that doesn't want to be there.
We have a great time at Donuts. Come to Coffee and Donuts afterwards.
Yeah, it's Coffee. That's where you should meet. Dude, I got to confess. I cut the line every week at Coffee and Donuts.
Do you guys have Coffee and Donuts every week?
They have Coffee and Donuts every week. And when Peter's good in mass, we get him a donut. Yes. But by that point, it's like the baby's ready to go. You know, yeah. So like I'm on donut duty. Emma's on load up and car duty. And there's this line of like all of these kids that are like at least five to 15, you know, and they're all waiting in line with their families and it's all orderly. And every week I've got the 2-year-old and I just walk to the front. I grab one donut from the communal bin of donut holes and I give it to him and I walk out. And every week Emma's like, should you be doing that? Like, is that wrong? And I'm like, frankly, I don't care.
Yeah.
If this is what sends me to hell, sayonara. But I'm not waiting in line. Not waiting in line for 30 minutes to get one donut hole for my 2-year-old. I'm not doing it. And send me to jail.
If you walk up with the kid, no one's gonna care.
No one has ever cared. I've looked the volunteer who with the tongs in the eyes and grabbed it with my hands and then walked away.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry, Susan. I don't need your tongs. I've surpassed my need for you.
We always get there too late for bagels, and I go to the guy, John, who's been running Coffee and Donuts since I was 10, like maybe five. And I'm like, John, can you hook me up with a pumpernickel for my son?
And what does John do?
John gives me a pumpernickel, man. Oh, pray for John. He's not doing well. Pray for John.
We'll pray for John. We got to end the pod so we can do the bonus show. We're already running late. Sweet. If you want to join the Patreon and listen to the bonus podcast, which is just more of this, I think this is the best podcast we've done in a long time. I really enjoyed this episode. This can I just say that right now? If you want more of this, $10 a month on Patreon, 10 bucks. That's a coffee a week. Less than that. I paid for a coffee today at Starbucks, $5 for a latte.
Jeez.
Insane. So if you want to support us for two coffees a month, really is what it is.
Yeah. Come on.
Patreon.com/thecrunch, $10 a month gets you the bonus show. We need more patrons cause we've lost many.
So, oh yeah.
Not that many, but like some have dropped off. So
we've also gotten a few.
We need to reclaim. And I'm glad that you guys are here. Big things are coming this year. Oh, it's very exciting.
And I think we're going to talk about it on the bonus podcast.
Oh, we're going to talk about it on the bonus podcast. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Remember the sacred portals that Francis opened?
Yeah.
He's going to open them again. Sorry, I wanted to do the thing that I posted today, but it's the Templar Jesuits are keeping a list of all of the Protestants, and they're in this Vatican secret archives, they're going to open the portals and suck you into purgatory.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time. Bye.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.